Chapter 46. The reader may rest satisfied that Tom's and Huck's windfall made a mighty stir in the poor little village of St. Petersburg. So vast a sum, all in actual cash, seemed next to incredible. It was talked about, gloated over, glorified, until the reason of many of the citizens tottered under the strain of the unhealthy excitement. Every haunted house in St. Petersburg and the neighboring villages was dissected, plank by plank, and its foundations dug up and ransacked for hidden treasure, and not by boys, but men, pretty grave, unromantic men too, some of them. Wherever Tom and Huck appeared, they were courted, admired, stared at. The boys were not able to remember that their remarks had possessed weight before, but now their sayings were treasured and repeated. Everything they did seemed somehow to be regarded as remarkable. They had evidently lost the power of doing and saying commonplace things. Moreover, their past history was raked up and discovered to bear marks of conspicuous originality. The village paper published biographical sketches of the boys. The widow Douglas put Huck's money out at 6%. And Judge Thatcher did the same with Tom's at Aunt Polly's request. Each lad had an income now that was simply prodigious, $1 for every weekday in the year and half of the Sundays. It was just what the minister got, no, it was what he was promised. He generally couldn't collect it. $1.25 a week would board, lodge, and school a boy in those old simple days, and clothe him, and wash him too, for that matter. Judge Thatcher had conceived a great opinion of Tom. He said that no commonplace boy would ever have got his daughter out of the cave. When Becky told her father, in strict confidence, how Tom had taken her whipping at school, the judge was visibly moved, and when she pleaded grace for the mighty lie which Tom had told in order to shift that whipping from her shoulders to his own, the judge said with a fine outburst that it was a noble, a generous, a magnanimous lie, a lie that was worthy to hold up its head and march down through history breast to breast with George Washington's lauded truth about the hatchet. Becky thought her father had never looked so tall and so superb as when he walked the floor and stamped his foot and said that. She went straight off and told Tom about it. Judge Thatcher hoped to see Tom a great lawyer or a great soldier someday. He said he meant to look to it that Tom should be admitted to the National Military Academy and afterward trained in the best law school in the country in order that he might be ready for either career or both. Huck Finn's wealth and the fact that he was now under the widow Douglas's protection introduced him into society, no, dragged him into it, hurled him into it, and his sufferings were almost more than he could bear. The widow's servants kept him clean and neat, combed and brushed, and they bedded him nightly in unsympathetic sheets that had not one little spot or stain which he could press to his heart and know for a friend. He had to eat with a knife and fork. He had to use napkin, cup, and plate. He had to learn his book. He had to go to church. He had to talk so properly that speech was become insipid in his mouth. Whithersoever he turned, the bars and shackles of civilization shut him in and bound him hand and foot. He bravely bore his miseries 3 weeks, and then one day turned up missing. For 48 hours the widow hunted for him everywhere in great distress. The public were profoundly concerned. They searched high and low, they dragged the river for his body. Early the third morning Tom Sawyer wisely went poking among some old empty hogsheads down behind the abandoned slaughterhouse, and in one of them, he found the refugee. Huck had slept there. He had just break-faced it upon some stolen odds and ends of food, and was lying off now, in comfort, with his pipe. He was unkempt, uncombed, and clad in the same old ruin of rags that had made him picturesque in the days when he was free and happy. Tom routed him out, told him the trouble he had been causing, and urged him to go home. Huck's face lost its tranquil content and took a melancholy cast. He said, "Don't talk about it, Tom. I've tried it, and it don't work. It don't work, Tom. It ain't for me. I ain't used to it. The widder's good to me, and friendly, But I can't stand them ways. She makes me get up just at the same time every morning. She makes me wash. They comb me all to thunder. She won't let me sleep in the woodshed. I got to wear them blamed clothes. That just smothers me, Tom. They don't seem to any air get through 'em, somehow. And they're so rotten nice, that I can't sit down, nor lay down, nor roll around the newers. I ain't slid on the cellar door for, well, it pairs to be years. I got to go to church and sweat, I hate the mornery sermons. I can't catch a fly in there, I can't chaw. I got to wear shoes all Sunday. The widder eats by a bell, she goes to bed by a bell. She gets up by a bell, everything so awful reglar a body can't stand it. Well, everybody does that way, huck. Tom, it don't make no difference. I ain't everybody, and I can't stand it. It's awful to be tied up so. And grub comes too easy, I don't take no interest in vittles, that way. I got to ask to go fishing. I got to ask to go in the swimming, darn it, if I ain't got to ask to do everything. Well, I got to talk so nice it wasn't no comfort. I got to go up in the attic and rip out a while every day to get a taste in my mouth, or I'd a died, Tom. The widder wouldn't let me smoke. She wouldn't let me yell. She wouldn't let me gape, nor stretch, nor scratch, before folks. Then with a spasm of special irritation and injury, indeed that fetch it, she prayed all the time. I never see such a woman. I had to shove, Tom, I just had to. And besides, that school's going to open, and I'd a had to go to it. Well, I wouldn't stand that, Tom. Looky here, Tom, being rich ain't what it's cracked up to be. It's just worry and worry, and sweat, and a wishing you was dead all the time. Now these clothes suits me, and this barrel suits me, and I ain't ever going to shake 'em anymore. Tom, I wouldn't ever got into all this trouble if it hadn't a been for that money. Now you just take my share of it along with yarn, and give me 10 cents or sometimes not many times, because I don't give a darn for a thing thought it's tollable hard to get, and you go and beg off for me with the widder. Oh, Huck, you know I can't do that. Tain't fair, and besides if you'll try this thing just a while longer you'll come to like it. Like it? Yes, the way I'd like a hot stove, if I was to sit on it long enough. No, Tom, I won't be rich, and I won't live in them cussed smothery houses. I like the woods, and the river, and hogsheads, and I'll stick to 'em too. Blame it all. Just as we'd got guns, and a cave, and all just fixed to rob, here this darn foolishness has got to come up, and spile it all. Tom saw his opportunity. Look here, Huck, being rich ain't going to keep me back from turning robber. No. Oh, good licks. Are you in real dead wood earnest, Tom? Just as dead earnest as I'm sitting here. But Huck, we can't let you into the gang, if you ain't respectable, you know. Huck's joy was quenched. Can't let me in, Tom? Didn't you let me go for a pirate? Yes, but that's different. A robber is more high-toned than what a pirate is as a general thing. In most countries they're awful high up in the nobility dukes and such. Now, Tom, ain't you always been friendly to me? You wouldn't shut me out, would you, Tom? You wouldn't do that now, would you, Tom? Huck, I wouldn't want to, and I don't want to, but what would people say? Why, they'd say, M.P.H. Tom Sawyer's gang. Pretty low characters in it. ' they'd mean you, Huck. You wouldn't like that, and I wouldn't. Huck was silent for some time, engaged in a mental struggle. Finally he said, well, I'll go back to the widder for a month, and tackle it, and see if I can come to stand it, if you'll let me belong to the gang, Tom. All right, Huck, it's a whiz. Come along, old chap, and I'll ask the widow to let up on you a little, Huck. Will you, Tom, now will you? That's good. If she'll let up on some of the roughest things, I'll smoke private and cuss private, and crowd through or bust. When you going to start the gang and turn robbers? Oh, right off. We'll get the boys together and have the initiation tonight, maybe. Have the witch? Have the initiation. What's that? It's to swear to stand by one another and never tell the gang secrets, even if you're chopped all to flinders and kill anybody and all his family that hurts one of the gang. That's gay, that's mighty gay, Tom, I tell you. Well, I bet it is. And all that swearing's got to be done at midnight, in the lonesomest, awfulest place you can find. A haunted house is the best, but they're all ripped up now. Well, midnight's good, anyway, Tom. Yes, so it is. And you've got to swear on a coffin, and sign it with blood. Now, that's something like. Why, it's a million times bullier than pirating. I'll stick to the widder till I rot, Tom. And if I get to be a reglar ripper of a robber, and everybody talking about it, I reckon she'll be proud she snaked me in out of the wet. Conclusion, so ends this chronicle. It being strictly a history of a boy, it must stop here. The story could not go much further without becoming the history of a man. When one writes a novel about grown people, he knows exactly where to stop, that is, with a marriage. But when he writes of juveniles, he must stop where he best can. Most of the characters that perform in this book still live, and are prosperous and happy. Someday it may seem worthwhile to take up the story of the younger ones again, and see what sort of men and women they turned out to be. Therefore it will be wisest not to reveal any of that part of their lives at present. End of the Project Gutenberg ebook Tom Sawyer complete. This file should be named SAWYR11. TTXT or SAWYR11. Zip, corrected editions of our ebooks, get a new number, SAWYR12. TTXT versions based on separate sources get new letter, SAWYR11A TTXT. This ebook was produced by Jose Menendez and David Widger, WIDGER at Secomet. Net. Project Gutenberg ebooks are often created from several printed editions, all of which are confirmed as public domain in the U.S., unless a copyright notice is included. Thus, we usually do not keep ebooks in compliance with any particular paper edition. We are now trying to release all our ebooks 1 year in advance of the official release dates, leaving time for better editing. Please be encouraged to tell us about any error or corrections, even years after the official publication date. Please note neither this listing nor its contents are final till midnight of the last day of the month of any such announcement. The official release date of all Project Gutenberg ebooks is at midnight, Central Time, of the last day of the stated month. A preliminary version may often be posted for suggestion, comment and editing by those who wish to do so. Most people started our websites at http Gutenberg Net or http promo Net page. These websites include award-winning information about Project Gutenberg, including how to donate, how to help produce our new ebooks, and how to subscribe to our email newsletter free. Those of you who want to download any ebook before announcement can get to them as follows, and just download by date. This is also a good way to get them instantly upon announcement, as the indexes our catalogers produce obviously take a while after an announcement goes out in the Project Gutenberg newsletter. HTTP www.iabiblio or GutenbergETEXT03 or FTP. FTP. Iabiblio. Org Pub Docs Books GutenbergETEXT03 or ETEXT02 01 00 99 98 97 96 95 94 93 92 92 91 or 90. Just search by the first five letters of the file name you want, as it appears in our newsletters. Information about Project Gutenberg, one page. We produce about $2 million for each hour we work. The time it takes us, a rather conservative estimate, is 50 hours to get any ebook selected, entered, proofread, edited, Copyright searched and analyzed. The copyright letters written, etc. are projected audiences 100 million readers. If the value per text is nominally estimated at $1, then we produce $2 million per hour in 2002 as we release over 100 new text files per month. 1240 more ebooks in 2001 for a total of 4,000 plus. We are already on our way to trying for 2,000 more ebooks in 2002. If they reach just 1-2% of the world's population, then the total will reach over half a trillion ebooks given away by year's end. The goal of Project Gutenberg is to give away 1 trillion ebooks. This is 10,000 titles each to 100 million readers, which is only about 4% of the present number of computer users. Here is the briefest record of our progress. Means estimated, : ebooks year month, 1971 July 10, 1991 January 100, 1994 January 1000, 1997 August 1500, 1998 October 2000, 1999 December 2500, 2000 December 3000, 2001 November 4000, 2001 October November 6000, 2002 December 9000, 2000 3 November 10,000 2004 January, the Project Gutenberg Literary Archive Foundation has been created to secure a future for Project Gutenberg into the next millennium. We need your donations more than ever. As of February 2002, contributions are being solicited from people and organizations in Alabama, Alaska, Arkansas, Connecticut. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.